The podcast on Haunted Hill will contain spoilers and swearing.
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
Bring some of this back home. Be one of us.
I didn't tell you my name.
Hang up.
I didn't tell them my name.
Hello and welcome to the podcast on Haunted Hill, episode 9, Daniel Bone, isn't it?
It is, Gav Chucky Steele. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. I am, as you just know, just from that listening just then, from what I just said, I am Gav, and sitting here is Dan. God, that went a bit funny, didn't it? Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Have you had lots of chocolate?
I've had an excellent time.
Ah, extravagance!
Sorry, that was a terrible joke, wasn't it? A joke.
Oh!
No, I've had lovely. I've had lots of chocolate. How about you?
Yeah, I had lots of chocolate. Kat hates it when I have chocolate. Kat's my wife, by the way. She hates it when I have chocolate because it sits in the utility room for about 4 months at a time because I'm just so slow at eating chocolate. I'm not a huge chocolate fan, so it takes me so long. But she's addicted to her chocolate because she's a woman. So, you know, whatever.
You have to hide it from her,
do you? Well, I don't, I just leave it there, and it seems to go down smaller and smaller all the time. I had quite a lot of chocolate. Yeah, it was right.
Good. Yeah, I got quite a lot. My parents are really into Easter. They're not religious or anything, they just love giving us chocolate, so fuck it, I just eat it.
Exactly. Brilliant. Yeah. I actually had to go to church Easter morning.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Kat wanted me to go to church and I was like, oh, I was gonna go skateboarding.
Skateboarding or church?
So I had to go to church and I didn't sing any songs, I didn't do any praying.
Praying.
The only amusing thing was that when they sang hymn number 666, that was about exciting thing for me, and that was it.
Talking of 666, I had a weird day yesterday. I went out yesterday and I bought me and my girlfriend some drinks and some stuff, and some crisps, and it came to £6.66. Then she showed me a receipt that she'd used the day before, which came to £6.66. And then something else happened. I can't remember what it was now. There was that number came up again at some point. And I felt a bit like I was a bit being followed around by the devil or something yesterday. I didn't really like that very much.
Well, you obviously weren't actually being followed by the devil.
Well, you never know, Gav. He's right.
Do you believe in the devil?
Do you believe in magic?
Well, if you believe in a devil, I guess you should really believe in Mr. Big Upstairs. Oh, I learned something. Not that anyone can see this. At the church, I did learn something. Not that the audience can see this, but this is sign language for God.
So it kind of looks like you're raving with one hand.
Yeah, with just one finger and a thumb sticking out and your fingers pointing upwards.
So what does that one mean with both fingers pointing up?
Well, I don't know. It's almost like a whack-a-day.
Whack away, whack a day, whack a day.
Oh, Timmy Mallett. We need to get Timmy Mallett on as a guest.
Oh, yeah, he's really into horror, isn't he?
I don't know. He's probably killed a few people.
But that mallet of his?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think there's outtakes where he's accidentally decapitated children with Mallett's mallet?
Probably. Mallet's mallet's a word association game.
I think only our UK listeners will be understanding what the hell we're talking about at this point.
Yeah. Have you been up too much? What have you been doing?
I haven't really been up to a huge amount, to be honest with you. So chilling out on my birthday, which we talked about in the last episode. Just enjoying that chocolate, really. I've watched a couple of films. I'd only ever seen Wishmaster 1. And you know what I'm like, Gav, watching the sequels.
How many is there? Is that four?
Four of them, yeah. They're actually, you know, the fourth one was actually shit, I've got to say, fucking awful. But the first one and the second two aren't too bad, actually, but the fourth one was terrible.
So,
but I like those films, they're pretty good fun, actually.
So you're OCD, so let's say you are at number four and you're watching it and it's, you know, you're like, oh, this is really, really bad. As soon as the credits hit, is it like stop or do you have to do like credits as well? How far does it go?
I have to do the credits as well.
So you get right to the end where it says copyright 1986 or
just
whatever.
Just in case there's a nugget at the end, like a gem, a hidden gem.
And well, which like, is going to make
the film was brilliant though. Now it all makes sense.
Oh.
But it never happens, does it? Unless you're watching a Marvel movie, it's not worth staying till the end.
I can't believe it. I can't. Yeah. Amazing.
So yeah, the Wishmaster films, yeah, I'm sure loads of you guys have seen those. The first one's definitely a lot of fun. It's got like Kane Hodder and quite like Robert Englund and a few other sort of horror guys in it. It's even got Angus, what's his face from
Scrim.
Yeah, Angus Scrim. He does the voiceover as well, which is pretty cool. And then I watched Creepshow because I love Creepshow, and I also love Creepshow 2.
Did you
and
do I part find, 3?
Yeah, I found it on YouTube.
I started watching it once, and I couldn't be bothered.
Fucking hell, it's terrible, isn't it?
I can't remember.
It was terrible, and they use sort of CGI for the in between bits rather than like a little kid or any cartoons or anything, and it just felt like it didn't feel like a Creepshow movie at all, and all the stories were really shit. Yeah, it was terrible. So I've had a terrible time watching shit movies since the last episode.
You put yourself through it. It's only you that do it. It's a horror movie nation of us. We sort of do these sort of things, but I don't know. You take it to another level, I think, sometimes.
I mean, the only plus side is I did take my nephew to see Spider-Man 2, which was fucking brilliant. But
yeah? Is that Andrew Garfield again, yeah?
Yeah. Electro was pretty scary. He's only 9, my nephew, so he was a little bit scared at times of Electro. He's pretty freaky, you know, it's a 12A, but it's a good movie. Good movie. Good fun.
Cool.
Like that. What about you? What have you been watching? What have you been up to? You've been on holiday, haven't you?
Yeah, I went away for a week. And it's really cool. I took my laptop with me and I started banging out a script, actually.
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
Sorry, it's me clattering about getting a glass of water.
It sounded like you were ripping off wax off a hairy chest.
Oh, it was, Gav.
Yeah, I went to holiday at this place where there's a little island called Burr Island. And Burr. B-U-R-G-H, Burr. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, man, you got to write a story there. That's like a setting for a murder mystery. Basically, this little island, it becomes an island once a day because the water just comes in and you can't walk across the sand.
It just cuts them off from the
mainland. Yeah, and all you've got on that island is a hotel and a little pub, that's it. And a chapel, an abandoned chapel at the top of the hill.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, and it's amazing. And I was like, man, this is incredible. So
that's Hammer horror, isn't it?
Well, right I got really, really into it. But the thing is, this hotel, it's a very... I couldn't actually go into the hotel, which is a shame, because I started writing it. Then I thought, right, I'll go to the islands, I can take a load of photos, go onto the island, chat to them, and try and get some more information to help me write it. And I couldn't do that because the island's really cut off. It costs about £700 a night to stay there.
Wow.
Yeah, it's got a helicopter pad, things like that. Basically, people stayed there. Agatha Christie stayed there, right? And she got the idea to write 10 little Indians, we'll say, yeah. Because the original title is obviously a rude word. And she got the idea for that, and she got the idea also to write Evil Beneath the Sun, which is a Poirot episode.
Yeah, I love Agatha Christie.
One of the Poirot episodes from the 2002 ITV series, they actually filmed it on the island. And I found a little part on YouTube, but I cannot find it anywhere. It's doing my head in because I wanted to watch it. But my idea for a story, not like I really want to give my ideas away, but I'll just kind of slightly throw it out there, is literally this guy who's addicted to this woman who writes crime novel, on the island, but goes there with his girlfriend, but like she... I'm not going to go into it. I don't want to give it away. It's really good. I'll tell you once we've finished recording. Yeah, it's. I'm quite into it actually, and I'm gonna bang that out. So I did that, and it was really cool. Actually, I enjoyed that. It was nice having a holiday. I've also been watching Fargo, the TV show.
Yeah, is this with Martin Freeman, isn't it?
Yeah. I really, really, really like it. I'm thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying it. If you like the Coen Brothers film, it's basically the exact same little world. They've just expanded upon it. It's kind of like, it's almost the same sort of story, but they've just made it huge and really, really wide. And you've got like Billy Bob Thornton as like this killer, kind of a hired killer, just comes into the town.
I didn't know he was in this.
Yeah, he's a hired killer going to town. And Martin Freeman kind of accidentally gets completely involved really badly in this one policewoman's kind of thinks he is. He's kind of pretty much in cahoots with Billy Bob Thornton, and he's not, but he just accidentally, something happened. I don't want to give it away. Yeah, it's really good. You got the whole... The score is very Fargo. The whole town, everybody's like, yeah, yeah, for sure, yeah. It's really, really the world of Fargo. It's excellent. Martin Freeman's really good in it.
What's his accent? Is he putting on
perfect,
mask
perfect? Yeah, he's got that accent. It's perfect.
Oh, he's doing it. And he's doing it okay.
Yeah, perfect.
I love Martin Freeman.
Watch it. I really guarantee watch it. It's good. The first episode's an hour and a half. Well, I say an hour and a half. You get an advert every about 13 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is fucking annoying, but, you know.
I know, it's really annoying, isn't it? Hey, Gab, can I just quickly...
Yeah, yeah, well, that's it, really. I've watched more things, but, you know, you go for it.
Well, just talking of Martin Freeman and The Hobbit, should I tell everybody who I had a little cigarette and a drink with the other night?
Yeah, we won't say what he tried to buy off you, because that's a...
Anyway, we
better not say that.
I was out having a drink the other night, as I often do. And I noticed somebody in the pub having a good old dance, listening to the funk band that we were all dancing around to. And I thought, that can't be him. And I went over and tapped him on the shoulder. I said, excuse me, are you Aidan Turner? He turned around and he said, yes, I am, my friend. And he was a really lovely guy. And I said to him, do you mind if I be cheeky and get a photo of me and you together? Which he was like, yeah, let's go outside for a cigarette. It's absolutely fine. There's more light out there anyway, if you want a photo. Ended up chatting to him for about 25 minutes, half an hour. Really, really nice guy. He's really drunk.
Well, can you explain to the audience who he is? Because I wouldn't know from name.
Okay, well, Aidan Turner, he's famous for playing, I believe his character is called Keeley, which is the elf, the best-looking elf in the Hobbit movies, the one that was kind of going to get with Evangeline Lilly.
Yeah.
But he's also was in Being Human, which is the show about a vampire, werewolf and a ghost.
Well, that's a Bristol-based show, but it's an American show now, though.
Yeah, they've bought it, haven't they? And they've turned it into... They've Americanized it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was... The reason I started watching Being Human was because I heard it was filmed in Bristol, plus the concept of a vampire, a ghost and a werewolf.
That's why we watched it. I watched it with Kat, because obviously she lived in Bristol, so yeah. That's why we started watching it, actually, yeah.
But yeah, so I ended up chatting to Aidan about Peter Jackson, what he's like to work with. You know, we were both pretty drunk, so it wasn't a very coherent conversation, but it was brilliant. And he told me, so I even asked him if he got to snog Evangeline Lilly, and he started cracking up and said he has done, but it might not be in the final version of the third Hobbit movie or something. He said he's not sure what Peter's decided to do with that yet, but he said, the memories are all up here, my friend. The memories are all up here. Which
you
is
know,
hilarious.
Kat really fancies him. You should have rang Kat up or left the message on her phone.
My girlfriend really fancied him. She didn't even know who he was. And at one point he said to her, hello, darling. It's always lovely to meet fans. And my girlfriend went, oh, I don't really know who you are.
Alice is quite straightforward, isn't she? Yeah, she will tell you exactly how it is.
Yeah, he was really cool. We chatted about it being human, and I asked him what he was doing in Bristol. And he's doing a new series for the BBC called, I think he said it was called Dark Pole or Pole Dark. I can't remember. But it sounds quite like horror-based or science fiction-based.
Well,
so he's just started filming that, and he was unwinding that night.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really exciting to meet him and hang out with him. I just wanted to share that little story there. He's a really, really nice guy. Just really cool guy, and he was really happy to just chat. I think, to be honest with you, he's not big enough that everyone would know who he is yet, so he kind of appreciates people going out and having a chat with him.
Yeah, totally.
But his career is really taking off, you know, obviously being in The Hobbit and stuff. You know, that's a pretty big deal, working with some of those names that are in that. Amazing.
Yeah, totally. I'm just on his IMDb now. It's called Pole Dark.
Pole Dark, yeah. Does it say anything about what it is?
No. It's a drama series, TV series. I don't know anyone else who's in it either, really, so no.
Well, the funniest thing is when my girlfriend came over and announced that she didn't know who he was, I said, come on, he's the vampire from Being Human. She went, oh, that rings a bell. And I said to him, God, do your Mitchell vampire impression. His character is called Mitchell, and he composed himself, and he was about to do one of the lines from Being Human, and then he just pissed himself and said, I'm too drunk for this, I'm sorry, I can't do it. But he was going to do a brooding vampire bit for a moment, but then he just lost it. He's such a nice guy. Yeah,
so you were drunkenly directing him?
Yeah, I was like, do your best Mitchell vampire, come on. Yeah, it's pretty funny stuff.
That's hilarious. It's always fun to meet you know, these people we're watching in videos and films and stuff.
Yeah,
especially
yeah,
if they're right
the level.
And if they're right people, yeah, and on the same levels and rather than entourages or anything, you know.
And by level I mean we were both smashed, so yeah. So that was my little story.
That's pretty cool. You watched any films lately?
Well, just apart from the few I mentioned, I mean, I've watched a ton of films. I'm working my way through the Planet of the Apes series and movies at the moment. Just getting ready for the new Planet of the Apes. I'm a big Planet of the Apes fan. I think those films are great, especially the early ones.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, no, I like the first one, but they freaked me out a bit as a kid. Movies with gorillas and monkeys and things.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, that's why I like them. There's something creepy about that. Do you know what I noticed, Gav? The sound design in the films and the 70s TV show is fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
You need to listen to it. All the effects and everything is so clear, like the horse galloping and every last little cup being put on a table. It's all really... I don't know why it sounds so crisp. It's brilliant. You don't get that in TV shows very often.
Yesterday, I was doing something in the house and Rio Bravo was on telly. Yeah. And I just chucked it on again because Rio Bravo's a great movie and obviously that influenced us writing Insecurity. Oh, by the way, a movie called Insecurity came out not long ago. with Vinnie Jones and Ving Rhames. Yeah.
What? Vinnie Jones and Ving Rhames?
Yeah. Anyway.
Vinnie Jones is turning up in so many films these days.
I know. Anyway, and Rio Bravo's on, and I thought about it more when watching it, and it was all ADR'd, like John Wayne and all that stuff, but it just works so well, though, in the sort of just the feel of the cowboy movie, even though it's ADR'd and it's obviously not filmed, sound recorded there. I don't know, it just worked quite well, and I thought it was really well done for such an older film, you know.
And I think it was the opposite with Planet of the Apes, because I think it isn't ADR, I think it's all actual, just recorded, actually there on set.
Yeah.
But they've just got really good sound men, I think.
I tell you what, when I was watching Alien the other night, which we're covering for this podcast, because it's Easter, we're doing eggs.
Eggs, guys. Yeah. Excellent.
This is another Dan-themed show. The sound design in Alien is really, really good as well.
Oh, God, it really is.
Very,
it really
very good.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
We'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Okay, well, that's enough for this this intro, isn't it?
Well, let's talk about what we're going to talk about then.
So okay, well, go for it. Yeah.
So we're going to cover two films, as we do. The YouTube film is Critters, because the critters come from little egg things. It's a bit of a tenuous link, but, you know.
It is a little bit.
Easter horror movies are there. Gab, I did think of another Easter horror movie, which me and you watched together.
What one?
That Bunny Man fucking shit. The Bunny Man Murders, or whatever it was called.
The Bunny Man Massacre, I think.
God,
yeah.
You couldn't even watch the end of it. Even I couldn't watch the whole film. We skipped. Didn't we?
And there was a reason, because I applied for the job for the composer for the film.
That's right. That's the reason we watched it.
And it's one of those things. It's good to have credits on your IMDb or your CV or whatever, but
when it's the Bunny Man Massacres.
God, it was appalling. Sorry, Kyle, the director.
Hey, Kyle. So Critters, and then our main film, as you've mentioned, we're really excited. Brilliant film, Alien, obviously, like, it's the film about eggs, really, the only horror movie that it really is.
Yeah.
But Alien 2.
And we've got that, and I found that World of the Strange.
We've got a really cool Easter World of the Strange.
Yeah, Easter Fiend, we'll leave it at that, we'll talk about it. I'll have to find that again, because I haven't got it on my computer at the moment.
That's fine.
Yeah, music-wise, I don't know. I the Alien score is pretty good,
yeah,
so maybe
I think
we just
that.
Yeah,
we'll
I think so.
On the end, it's really, really haunting.
And
Jazzy's going to be talking about Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
Yeah, I she's not going to get a chance to watch it, so it's going to be a case. I might see if she can, but it might be a case of just showing her a trailer. She's seen it a couple of times and just getting
she's
her to chat about
it. Because
it
was her 7th birthday yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Very busy at the moment.
Oh my God.
Gavin, our listeners out there, Gavin's and his lovely wife, Catherine, have made the mistake. I say mistake, you know, Jasmine's happy, but they bought her an electronic drum kit.
That's not the problem. That's not the problem.
Right, okay.
That's great. The electronic drum kit's amazing. Yesterday, everyone was at the house. I just sat there playing drums. It was excellent. I'm not really right. Like it. And you can plug it into your computer, so you can use it as a trigger. So I could actually like cut up some drums, some funk drums, and actually just sit there playing them, you know. I could do. But no, the thing which completely killed me and my poor pregnant wife, who is just taking it's hard enough for her as it is at the moment, was basically we had a rock themed party at my house.
Woo!
And it was only 16 7-year-olds, and you think that's not that bad.
No, that's
it was
terrible.
Absolute fucking it was so there was I at one point one of the parents of the kids stayed, so there's three of us, which is so good, and we thanked her, we gave her a bottle of wine because it's so thank you. At one point I said to her, Jesus, I'm a director. I'm trying to tell them to do stuff, and I can't get anything, any response to them at all. But right, guys, come on, no, put the brick down. We don't play with bricks. And yeah, it was just like, oh my god, they just tore through the house like a tornado.
Oh my god.
There's shit everywhere. There's people crying from getting hurt. There's fighting going on. It's just like, oh my god, I don't know what to do. At times, I would go upstairs and find like the boiling hot water tap just flowing away, and I'd have to turn it off and find jugs of water around the house. I pulled everyone out of the bathroom, so right, go downstairs. So then I kind of stood on the landing and I looked out the window and I just thought, well, if I stand here for a little bit, it's a couple more minutes I don't have to be with them. So I'll just stand there, and I kept doing it. I kept finding little places to stand.
Just stand and watch.
Then it's like, right, we've got 40 minutes, then they'll be gone. Cool, half an hour, then they'll be gone. There's like 12 minutes, my parents are picking them up, yes! And it was, as soon as they'd gone though, I had to hoover out, I was cleaning everything up, but I've got to get this. I've still got yet to recover cushions which have been thrown on top of our shed. I've got to get a ladder out to get them. But man, don't do it. Don't do things like that.
16 7-year-olds.
I thought they'd be better because they're older. No, it's worse. Yeah.
I think when you get them together, it's like pack mentality, isn't it? They just go nuts.
Oh. On that sour note. Right, anyway, that's enough of the intro. All right, cheers.
Okay, so for the YouTube movie then, as we mentioned, we're going to be talking about Critters from 1986. It's an hour and 22 minutes, quite short film. A race of small furry aliens make lunch out of the locals in a farming town. Quite a short synopsis, but...
It is a bit, yes.
That says what it is, really. Who's in this, Gav? We've got Dee Wallace Stone in this. A staple of horror movies. She rocks up in everything, doesn't she, really?
She does. Well, you know, obviously she did E.T. and Cujo and lots of...
Wasn't she an alligator or something as well? Well, Alligator 2 she was in.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and she was in Lords of Salem more recently.
I haven't seen that yet. I've heard it's good.
I watched it again the other night. Well, it's kind of divided the audience, as a lot of movies do with horror audience, because we are quite a fickle amount of people, you know, bunch of people. I actually watched it again the other night and really enjoyed it. I'll tell you what, we should do a Rob Zombie episode and do maybe House of a Thousand Corpses and Lords of Salem, I think.
I'd do it for that.
Yeah,
definitely.
I'm quite a fan of his.
Billy Zane's also in this, isn't he?
Yeah, I've got to admit, I watched it. I've never been a huge fan of this film. I was more into Ghoulies.
Yeah, Ghoulies. I love Ghoulies.
Critters was just like, because this was, I don't know what the studio was, but it was their version of
Gremlins.
It was their trying to tie into that, and I had problems watching this film again.
It also quite reminded me of what's the one that we talked about, the alien, the Borrower. At times, it reminded me of that.
Yeah.
Because of the bounty hunters, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah. My notes are really like four notes, probably.
Four words.
I got to the point. It is almost probably just after the credits. Then there's no more notes. And I just got bored of watching this film. No offence to people, because I'm sure there's people out there who think this is like quite a, you know, it is a very well-known film like with horror fans.
Yeah.
And it's
they
classic.
They made four of them, didn't they?
Well, and it's mid-80s, so yeah, they probably did all right, but
Wasn't it Leonardo DiCaprio's first film, like Critters 3 or something, or Critters 2?
Quite probably.
He was in one of them. The director, Stephen Herrick, he went on to direct Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure... Wild Stallions! He also directed The Mighty Ducks. And more recently, he directed Rockstar, which I haven't seen. Oh, no, I have seen. That's the one with Mark Wahlberg. But it wasn't very good. The one where Mark Wahlberg plays a Rockstar in the 80s.
Yeah,
not a lot really going on there. The best person in this film, I think, was M. Emmett Walsh. The older, bigger, fat dude. He's like the sheriff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was in the Coen Brothers' first film.
And he was in Blade Runner. He's been in a lot of TV shows. He's like quite a good character actor. So he was good. It was good to see him in it. I've got to be honest with you, the film didn't live up to what I remember.
No, it was Billy Zane's second film after his year earlier acting debut in Back to the Future.
Yeah, he played one of Biff's gang in Back to the Future.
Didn't know.
Yeah. He's in that. And then obviously more famously became the Phantom.
It was the director's debut film as well, so...
Well, that's not bad, I suppose. I mean, like you say, we might not have enjoyed it as much as I definitely did when I was a kid, but it's a well-known film.
The sheriff's receptionist, you would recognise?
I don't know if I did.
Oh, come on. She's basically the... in Insidious, she's the person that can feel the spirits and everything.
Oh, she's that woman that comes around with the two guys.
Yeah, man, she's in loads of films. I put her more well known, possibly. Well, no, they're all on par, I guess.
Yeah, back in '86.
I like the new Line Cinema logo come up.
Yeah, that's so weird, man. My first note says, "Love seeing the new Line logo."
Mine says, "New Line Cinema, old school logo."
I know, I love that logo, man. It always means you're going to get some cool horror from sort of mid-'80s to mid-'90s. Well, not always, but...
The Thing rip-off title, I've got notes down here.
Yeah, what, the way the...
The font. Tell you, if I don't remember now. I've kind of got notes. I put this movie out of my head, I got to admit. The only other note I've got now, and that's all my notes... Seriously, okay. I've got one more note. It says, jam jar coffee cup.
Don't even know what that means.
The dad, the farmer dad, he all of his drinks are out of jam jars.
He's an old school redneck farmer.
Just get a glass or a coffee cup, come on.
Just get a cup, mate, that's all you need. Just get a mug.
That's it.
Get a new Line mug, that's all you need.
New Line mug, that'd be amazing. That is all of my notes. I've got trivia, no nothing, so take it away, Dan.
Brilliant. Well, you're going to have to help me, but we'll talk through this film. So basically, we start off in space. So I think for people who went into this film thinking it was going to be a straight, like, sort of horror movie, like a Gremlins version sort of thing, it has got those elements in it, but there are a lot of science fiction elements in it as well. So we start off in space, and you've got this huge sort of asteroid, which is also a prison where they keep dangerous aliens from all around the world. And you get these weird guys floating around on sort of floating wheelchairs with huge heads. And they're all shouting, "Oh, the Krites have escaped!" So the Krites are the critters, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're like the species is the Krite, I suppose, which I suppose is where the critters come from. So the Krites, I don't know how, we don't know how they've escaped, but they must be intelligent because they escape from the prison and they steal a ship and start heading towards Earth. So they have to send out these two bounty hunters. And this is where I thought it reminded me a bit of the Borrower, because they have to kind of take on the shape of someone to like fit in on the planet, because they haven't got faces, have they?
So you saw the Borrower then?
Yeah, I watched it about 6 months ago or so.
Okay, cool. Do you like it?
Yeah, I did. I really liked it. I think it was your recommendation, actually, that I watched it.
Yeah,
because that is the one where he sort of finds a porno mag, isn't it? And he turns into the porn star in it, and he's got like a staple in his chest. Is that the one?
I don't remember.
It's in the centre spread and stuff like that.
How he lives in Borrows, he has to rip off people's heads and put on a new head to breathe. Yeah.
I really like that film. It's pretty scary, actually. If I'd have seen that as a kid, I would have shat myself.
I did watch it as a kid on a huge on this huge boat. Yeah, okay. Out in the middle of the ocean, and it was probably like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. Absolutely no one around. It's pretty much dark, and there's just this little open area bit of a television and just me sitting there watching this movie by myself.
How old were you?
Probably about 12.
Oh god. Well, yeah, I was 35 when I saw The Borrower, so I was a little bit older. So
you could take it. Yeah,
I could take that shit, man.
I'd rather talk about that movie than this.
Well, we can talk about that in a future episode. Well, we cut then from these bounty hunters getting sent out to chase the Krites, and we cut to the farm that the family live on. So we've got the family, the dad, as you said, who's drinking out of jam jars. You've got a brother and a sister who are like typically fighting. You can see what's going to happen. They're going to have to unite to help defeat the critters.
Yeah.
It's a very sort of stereotypical thing.
Sorry, I was just yawning.
You've also got a cat called Chewy, which I loved. Thought that was fucking wicked.
That's okay.
If I had a cat, I'd call it Chewy. If I had a dog, I'd call it Chewy. I love Chewbacca. He's my favourite Star Wars.
Bit confusing though. If you had a dog and a cat and they're both called Chewy, it'd get very confusing.
Well, if I had a dog and a cat, then I'd probably call the dog Chewy and I'd probably call the cat, so I don't know, Jabba. I don't know. Anyway, brother and sister fighting. It's a typical farm family. They're all sort of like getting on with their lives. You've got the stereotypical guy, which was the first time I saw a character like this was in Friday the 13th, the one mental guy that no one listens to, who's always shouting, "They're coming, they'll be here someday." And he can, he's got loads of fillings, hasn't he? And he's picking up like radio signals in his fillings. It's really mental what he's done.
Don't know.
So on their way to Earth, the bounty hunters start watching loads of MTV. And they see a band playing, a rock band.
That was quite amusing, if anything, yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, well, this, I guess this is what people look like on Earth. So they just end up looking like Whitesnake or some rock band from the 80s.
Yep.
With like long mullets and loads of leather and coats and chains and stuff. Although one of them, why doesn't one of them want to change his face? He doesn't change his face, the other one, does he, for ages?
He can't find a head which...
he likes. Yeah. He's like, no, I don't want to put that face on me.
It's quite cool, though. I quite liked the fact that he didn't.
Yeah, he was. It was quite... there are little quirky bits to this film, like one of the aliens being a bit pissy. Oh, I don't want to look like that. I'd rather look like somebody else, actually.
Yeah.
So these critters turn up on Earth, and they're little... we don't really see them a lot to begin with. And I suppose... for 86, the effects aren't too bad. I mean, they're blatantly puppets a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But I suppose the gremlins were as well. But they've got fucking huge teeth, haven't they? And they can roll up like Sonic the Hedgehog and sort of roll along the ground, and they can fire their big spikes at you out of their back like a hedgehog.
That's very good, like Sonic the Hedgehog, yeah.
Yeah, it's what they're like, isn't it? They sort of roll up and...
I didn't watch this on YouTube, actually. I watched this on Love Film. It was on Love Film Instant.
Oh, really? Yeah, it is on YouTube.
Or Amazon Prime Instant now.
Yeah, as it's called now, yeah.
Just to confuse me even more. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I just had no interest in this film.
There's no point in really going into huge amounts of detail about this.
No, please don't. I'd rather talk...
there wasn't really much that stood out.
I'd rather spend this podcast talking Alien.
Yeah, well, that's fine. We can. I mean, this basically... as a kid, I loved this film.
I think that's it. I think growing up with horror, you probably did. I think I must have missed it. Like I said to you, Ghoulies was more my thing. Ghoulies 3, Go to College.
Yeah, there's Ghoulies 4 as well, isn't there?
Jesus. I don't remember that one. I don't say it. But yeah, this one didn't do it for me. Maybe if I watched it as a kid, I might have been more like, yeah, Critters is a good movie. But how was it for you going back to it?
Well... I still remember. I've still got fond memories of it. I just, like you say, unfortunately, even though it's only an hour and 20 minutes, I felt that was a bit too long. By the time they start attacking the house, like they basically barricade the family in the house, these critters, and they chew through the wire. I mean, there's funny elements. The critters are subtitles, so whenever they sort of go... you can see there's little subtitles at the bottom, and there's one bit where they go... one of them says, oh, they've got a gun, and he goes, who cares? And then they shoot one of the critters and explode him. And the other one goes, fuck me! And sort of runs off.
Yeah.
There's funny little bits like that. They get bitten, they get spiked with the critter's quills as they fire them off. But nothing really stood out, really. The naughty boy with the firecrackers ends up being the hero because they use the firecrackers to scare away.
Oh, I saw that coming.
Yeah, exactly. And then the mental guy who knew all about aliens coming, he ends up being able to help them as well. They end up hooking up with the bounty hunters. There's a massive fire goes on. There's just not a lot really going on really at the end. It doesn't even sort of end with like there could be a sequel.
I started like looking at my phone, to be honest. I got bored.
One of the reasons I like this as a kid is because I probably related more to the naughty kid in it, because at the end no one believed him to begin with, but then at the end the bounty hunters like say to him, you were really helpful in defeating these crites. Here's a beeper or a page or whatever it is. We might beep you if we need you in the future. And he's like, cool, cool, thanks, man. And then, but then as they take off, the bounty hunters blow up as well.
Yeah. What have you seen the other Chris's movies?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Any good?
They're all about. I think they'll get progressively worse.
How many is there?
There's four.
Right.
I think, as I say, DiCaprio is in the second or third one. I think it's his first film.
It must have gone to about the mid-90s then. With the
series. There is actually one bit at the end which sort of kind of says there might be a sequel. I remember now, as you pan away and the family are all like hugging each other and their house is burning to the ground, but, you know, everyone's alive, they pan over to the chicken coop and you see all the chicken eggs, don't you? But then there's two little black eggs in there and they start sort of hatching like... and then that's the end. Critters 2 coming soon. Yeah, really disappointing. It's probably the shortest review we've done, really.
I'd rather call it Shitters.
Shitters, I like that. Yeah. It's a shame as well, because, it, like you say, it is well known. The cover, the poster, I remember seeing it up in the shops when I was a kid.
I think it's a sort of nostalgic film that's probably best not revisited and just left as a little memory, like, oh, I remember Critters, oh, yeah, you know.
And this is rare as well, because normally I'm usually the one that finds the fun stuff in the film. Like, even if you slate a film, I'll usually find something in it I like. But to be honest with you, I was a bit bored watching it. It was all right, but I couldn't really recommend this film.
No.
If you're a big Critters fan.
I don't recommend it.
The only upside is it's on YouTube for free if you want to watch it, really. But it's a shame, really. I thought we were going to be, like, loving this movie, but...
No. I think we're wasting podcast time.
Should we have talked about the Bunnyman Massacres instead?
I don't know. Maybe we should just talked about chocolate.
We could have talked about chocolate eggs, couldn't we?
I tell you what, one of my Easter eggs had it's a Cadbury's one, it had popping candy jelly in the chocolate.
Yeah,
it was horrible. It was so... I threw half the bar away.
There's too much going on in your mouth at once, isn't it?
Well, popping candy wasn't too bad, but it was the jelly. It's like, oh, this isn't... Chocolate should be the texture it is, not kind of now a weird squidgy feeling in my mouth.
Mm-hmm. You've got a weird squidgy feeling in your mouth, do you, girl?
Oh, fuck this.
So, what would you give Critters? What would you say?
I give it.
What would you say to somebody who hadn't seen it?
Don't watch it. Don't bother.
Yeah?
Yeah, but what's the point? There's so many. Fucking hell, there's so many films out there nowadays. There's
just
so much stuff.
Just watch Gremlins or watch Ghoulies.
No, don't even bother watching Ghoulies, because I probably, if you revisited that, it'd probably be just about. I'd say just watch Gremlins. It's a very
Gremlins
good movie.
Gremlins 2, especially the first one. Gremlins is a fucking great film.
It's a good
film,
yeah.
They really tried to recreate that, didn't they? You could see that they were trying. They just gave them fur, you know, instead of being like reptilian. And there was no sort of, they had their own set of rules and stuff, but there was no. Oh, it just didn't work.
No.
Unfortunately. And at the time, I'm sure it probably did, because it cashed in on loads of teenagers.
Well, if they made a part four, then the name must have made money. That's why they kept putting the name on the movies and making them.
Yeah. I'm not going to give this a thumbs up, Gav. I'm going to give this, not a thumbs down, but I'm going to give this just a sideways thumb.
Right, I'm doing thumbs down, you're doing sideways thumb. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Ask Jasmine.
Hello, Jasmine.
Hello.
Hello, Daisy. Ooh, Moody Daisy. So, you girls watched Curse of the Were-Rabbit, which is a Wallace and Gromit film.
Yes.
Did you like it?
Yes.
What's the best thing about it? The fact that it was actually like werewolves, but a rabbit. It was actually a were-rabbit.
Rabbit.
Rabbit.
You liked it as were-rabbit, Daisy?
No, I liked it when he went like this. He went like that.
What bit's that?
The rabbit.
Like Tarzan?
Yeah, he went like this.
And he did it like this.
Oh! That's how he did it. He went like this. Oh! And then all the other little rabbits went like this.
So there's lots of urn going on.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you remember anything about the story?
No.
No? Okay. It's a very good story then. What was the best part of it?
Ow!
Okay, and would you say that is your review for Curse of the Were-Rabbit?
No.
What else would you like to say then?
I mean, yeah.
Right. Thank you for that, Jasmine and Daisy. See you next time.
This is Jamie from Devour the Podcast. Do you enjoy horror commentary with straightforward honesty?
Oh my God, fuck this movie. Fuck this movie so hard.
Oh my goodness. You know, halfway through this movie, I was just like, let's get this thing going.
Fuck this movie. Humor and an obvious passion for the genre.
Like a good baby. I'll kick him in the face.
I like the cut of your jib. The ceiling, Grandma. Don't make me get out the broom. Oh, your tears are like wine. They used to call that the vapors. Cupcakes are kind of the Schindler's List of desserts. It's a pure good. I love the idea of up-and-coming horror directors taking on the found footage genre. I really, really like that idea.
And that's really the worst sin you can commit as far as filmmaking is concerned, is making a film that's just average.
Well, that doesn't really inspire any kind of discussion, whether it's, you know, to rip it apart or praise it. Then you should spend time with David and me.
And Bo.
As we discuss horror films from old classics.
Deep Red. Empire of the Ants. Lisa and the Devil. The Baby. The Toxic Avenger.
The New Favorites.
Absentia. Cabin in the Woods. The Loved Ones. Shadow of Death. VHS. The Woman.
Check us out on iTunes or at devourthepodcast.blogspot.com. Devour the Podcast is a proud member of the Horrorphilia Podcasting Network.
Okay, this is our next review, which is our main review, and it's not on YouTube. This is a very, very well-known film. It spawned a lot of sequels and recently a prequel. Which I've forgotten about when I was watching it, and I was like, oh, hang on, that looks a bit like, and I was like, oh, and I looked it up, and I was like, oh, it's a prequel, that's why.
And let's not forget Versus Predators series.
Exactly, this is probably the most well-known science fiction horror film, I would say, I'd say generally across the whole populace of people, not even horror genre fans, I think, you know, generally people know about aliens and the whole day what they look like, especially. Anyway, if you hadn't guessed, the movie is Alien from 1979. The commercial vessel Nostromo,
I think they say.
It receives a distress call from an unexplored planet. After searching for survivors, the crew head home only to realize that a deadly bioform has joined them. This was directed by Ridley Scott, so already you've got a movie which is going to be better than Critters. The writer is Dan O'Bannon, who was the science fiction man to go to. This is our second film on the podcast which he's written.
Yeah, because he did Life Force, didn't
which
he?
Was the kind of almost the same sort of concept, really.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. You've got people like. I'm not a huge Sigourney Weaver fan, I've got to admit. I'm not massively. I know she's in Ghostbusters and all stuff. And I wasn't very excited that she had that cameo in Cabin in the Woods either, really. But Sigourney Weaver is in this. Tom Skerritt, John Hurt. You've got Bilbo from The Hobbit.
Yeah.
Harry Dean Stanton, who is, people would know from Escape from New York. Yeah.
Yaphet Kotto, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, he was like in a couple of Schwarzenegger movies and things. And, you know, this was a really, really well-known film. It is still a well-known film, and it's still a cash cow, and it's still making money.
And it's still making sequels and prequels.
And this gets an 8.5 out of 10 on IMDb.
Yeah,
from almost 400,000 people. It's a very good film. Everybody on here who's listening to this has seen this movie. If you haven't, I'm very surprised.
Yeah.
Everyone knows what's going on here, so should we kind of go through it really, really quickly, or...?
Let's take our time, let's go through it, let's chat about what we liked about it, which is going to be most of it, and things that stand out, really, because it is, you know, it was ahead of its time, really.
Okay.
It came out just after Star Wars, so it came out just after space sort of films really started taking off. And...
So, on a side note, very, very quickly, a little tangent. I watched a movie the other night, which I got, because I'm a huge fan of murder mystery type whodunits in big mansions where it's all, like, people locked in for the weekend. I watched a movie called Murder by Death.
All right.
And it's really good. Peter Falk, Peter Sellers, and Alec Guinness. Amazing, man. And they're all these detectives that are going to this mansion to try and someone's gonna be killed, and they're all detectives, and they've got to try and figure who it was. But on the side note, when they're filming it, Alec Guinness received a script for Star Wars. And he was there reading it, and the director said, oh, so what's that like, any good? And it's just a year before he actually shot it, and he said, this is the future, we have to see what it's like. But if you could do it in an Alec Guinness voice, you'd be like, man, that's amazing.
This is the future, Luke. Use the
phone. Yeah, it was good. As my little side note there, just because we're in the science fiction realm there. Let's go for Alien. Go through the story. What's going on?
Okay, yeah, so, I mean, we talked about the, we're going to have the music from Alien and the sound design.
Jerry Goldsmith's incredible. He's a good composer. Yeah, and sound design was I was really impressed with it, actually.
Just lots of noises and like bassy noises and fans whirring and machines.
I wish I watched it my surround sound, my subwoofer, but I didn't. I watched it up in bed. But yeah, sorry.
Yeah, really good. I love the way the word alien appears on screen, you know, that sort of just like one line at a time.
Well, it started coming up and it hadn't completely filled out, and Kat went, and she said a word. I don't know what she said, because it hadn't completely filled out, and I was like, no, alien, Kat. It's going to be alien. It was just very
Alan.
Slow to get
is
to
this
it.
A film about Alan?
Exactly, something like that. Alan? Who's Alan? No, alien.
So we see the Nostromo, don't we, zipping along, returning to Earth, apparently.
We have this real sense of dread, don't you? It's when you're on that ship and it opens up and it's completely empty and sparse and the camera's just slowly moving around it, very much like Prometheus.
Yeah. Just zipping around.
Or should I say, Prometheus is very much like this. You know.
Creeping around the corridors.
Yeah, it was nice.
There's nothing happening on this ship. It's like a ghost ship. You know, and finally you get to the room where they're all in stasis.
Yeah.
They're all sort of in pods, aren't they?
They're all sleeping and they all rise up and it's John Hurt's the first one out. Which is funny, he's the first one out because he is the first one to die as well. And they all come out from their sleep because obviously travelling in space takes a long time. I think they're about 10 or 11 months away from Earth.
And they wonder why the fuck they've been woken up. They're like, well, what are we doing here?
Because they would have been woken up for when they got home. Basically, I really like the realism in this because it was they're a real blue-collar bunch of workers. And I can really relate to the way it is, the fact that you get the two guys moaning about paychecks. And we can get paid for all this sort of stuff. It's pretty much like the sort of way I am with work and the guys I work with. It was so realistic. I really enjoyed it.
You also got the divide as well between the guys that were sort of upstairs and then the two guys that work in the engine room.
Yeah, well, it's just very realistic. You've just got the actual guys who are doing it, going out there, getting bloody and dirty, doing the actual physical labour. Then you've got the office type people who work with computers and stuff and just think everything's, oh no, it's fine, let's just do it, because they may get paid more or whatever.
There's that funny bit where they radio down to the engine room and they're like, yeah, how long is it going to take? And one of them looks at the other one and says, it's probably going to take about 12 hours to fix this. So the other guy goes, right, it's going to take 20 hours. And they just like add time onto it because they want to take their time doing it.
Yeah, and then Sigourney Weaver goes down and talks to them and there's that big load of gas coming out and she's having to shout at them. She walks off and he just turns it off.
She says to him, you can't really hear a lot of what she's saying.
Well, why don't you fuck off? Yeah.
She goes, why don't you just fuck off? It's so funny. She's like such a hard bitch. I love her. She's brilliant.
It was a really great dynamics. The casting choices are really, really good for this movie. And the direction is excellent and the writing's excellent. You've basically got the three elements there which you need to make a good film. And it was really, really good. I was very impressed. I was absolutely exhausted and I thought, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this, but if I don't do it now, we won't have time before this recording. But it really wasn't that hard to actually keep going. It really wasn't.
I'll tell you, one of the creepiest sounds for me is the way that the computer sounds when it makes that sort of distress, when they pick up the distress signal.
Yeah.
It's a really horrible little noise. It's like...
Yeah, exactly that. Things really like that. I love the real 80s computers. Obviously, it's 79, so I'll just say 80s computers.
Yeah.
I like that. It's quite funny.
So they work out the reason they're awake is because the ship's picked up this SOS, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And part of their protocol is they have to investigate an SOS or whatever. So they're like, oh, for fuck's sake. This is where they start arguing about, well, as long as we get paid for this, because essentially this is their overtime, isn't it?
Yeah, they've done their job. They're on their way home.
So they're all sat around that table. It's that great scene. The first time you see them all together, they're all sat around a table eating and drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes and just sort of like talking about what they're going to be doing and things like that. It's really, really cool. I love that. Like you say, it's just, you really feel like they have been working together for years on the ship.
There's a huge dynamics. I didn't bother watching. I almost did last night, but I didn't bother watching a lot of the making ofs because you get a lot on the box sets and stuff. The dynamics are incredible. It's really good. I'll get to it later on, but there's a point later on that when Sigourney Weaver's acting is fucking incredible acting. It is very, very good. I don't think this movie probably wouldn't, though, because it's horror, won like any Oscars or anything like that. But yeah, Sigourney Weaver is very, very good in it. Her,
Yeah, she's a good actress.
Yeah, the acting is incredible in places. Yeah. It really is.
They need to figure out there's this planet, which I can't remember the name of now, which is the... It's got a particular name. But it escapes me what it is. But anyway, they go to this planet, and the planet is just a real contrast from what you've seen on the ship. The wind's so loud, you can barely hear anything. The terrain is all over the place, really rocky. It's just like... just horrible. The noise. They can't barely see because of all the dust blowing around.
Oh, one thing very quickly. When they were sitting there having food, the plastic containers they were eating and drinking out of reminded me of Luke Skywalker's home with his uncle and auntie. Yeah. So they're told that they've got to go to this island, this planet, and they're like, okay, we're going to get paid. And they're like, yeah, whatever's found on there, legally you will get a share of. Don't worry. So they go to... land on this planet. You get to it straight away. It's quite nice. It moves pretty fast, this film, which is good. And as they're landing, there's problems. Like you say, they have some accidents with the landing gear, whatever it is. So they've got to do some work on this. So they're kind of stuck on this planet anyway. But they think, well, should we go out there? What's it like out there? So they find out the humidity if they could breathe.
Bilbo looks outside, doesn't he? And he sort of computes everything and says, oh, it's almost primordial out there. Like, you'll need your suits and everything. It's like, you won't be able to breathe out there without your suits. And they put their suits on, and they made me laugh, the suits, actually, because they looked exactly like proton packs, like the big bat packs. They look like they're all strapping up to go and bust some ghosts. But yeah, they get their suits on and they go out.
And this is a bit, when they went out, I was like, oh, this is very much like Prometheus, the way they're all out there.
Yeah.
And I really forgot Prometheus, because I quite like Prometheus. I know it's kind of, divided the audience. I watched it in cinema and I've got it on Blu-ray. I actually quite like the film. But
it's all right.
They're walking towards it. I was like, this is very much like Prometheus. And then all of a sudden, they discover a big round kind of circular object, which is a spaceship.
Yeah, it's like a big...
And all of a sudden I was like, hang on, that's the spaceship at the end of Prometheus. So I had to quickly pause the film and go on IMDb and go, oh yes, Prometheus is a prequel, and I'd forgotten all about that. I just watched it as almost a film, you know. So totally. And they find that, and then they find basically the big alien, don't they?
Yeah, the space jockey.
They don't seem massively...
They're not surprised. See, now, when I watched this kid when I was younger, I put that down to them thinking it was a statue, because I thought it was just a big, giant statue. It wasn't until I got a bit older and I heard people saying, oh, what about the space jockey?
No, because
that's what he's been called.
Well, they discuss it, and they say, oh, it's ripped out the cage, ripped out rib cage, or whatever it was, out of the stomach.
Yeah. That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, so the only way you could do it is just because they live on... They work in these planets. They do discover these types of things. It was just kind of almost very thrown away. But anyway, they discover that, and so then where do they go to? They go into the spaceship.
Yeah, one of them falls down a little bit.
It's John Hurt.
John Hurt. What's his character called? I can't remember his name now.
Do you think he hurt himself? Huh? Oh, John Hurt himself.
Yeah. So John hurts himself. Ha ha ha! Falls down. And he discovers a room full of, and this is the link to Easter, a room full of eggs.
No, this is where my notes are going, don't go up to the egg. It's exactly the same as Prometheus. Don't go playing around with things in water. You know, what are you doing?
And it's a really good effect here, isn't it? There's that green sort of lasery light over the mist. It looks really good, and it's kind of like a sensor. Like the eggs have got like a sensor, so if anything breaks through that mist, they start stirring. There's that great shot where he shines his torch on the egg and you kind of see something inside.
You see something move around inside it, so you should know from that not to get too close or to even touch it. It's like, okay, let's just, like, these things are here, let's just not bother, because it's not going to be a good thing. What planet? What planet did they think that it was going to be a good thing to get this egg? Or John Hurt, should I say, just him. Why, you know, he was the worst... Right, who should we send out to go have a look? Let's send out the gullible twat, who's probably going to go and touch fucking anything and catch something. Right, go on then, go for it.
Why didn't they send Ash, the robot, out?
They don't know he's logical. A robot.
And now they do, because there's that whole segregation about it. They fucking hate him. It's Bishop that they don't
think. Oh, okay, from Aliens. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
And again, though, some of them do know he's a robot, but some of them don't, because this is like the whole race class thing going on. isn't it? Like, we talked about the blue collar thing, but there's also like an element of racism going on in the script, because they're all, most of them don't like Ash because he's a cyborg, or whatever you want to call him, an android. And there's even that moment where one of them's like, get the fuck away from me, don't sit next to me while I'm eating and stuff like that. And it's like, it's really like quite harsh actually. Why didn't they send him out? He's like a Vulcan, he's got no sort of, you know, he's logical,
he wouldn't even need a suit or used up air.
Exactly, he would have just gone out there, had a little look and gone, yeah, we better not go in there, there's some weird shit going on, bye. But then it wouldn't have been a film.
I do like the fact that Sigourney Weaver discovers that the distress signal, or the SOS signal they thought it was, the computer started to decode it, and it's actually realised that it's not, it's probably a warning message. Yeah.
Stay the fuck away.
So Ash is just a bit like, oh, well, yeah, don't go out there. What's it? No, he's like, well, what's the point? That in his, the tone of voice is very, it's very, very well good. Well, yeah, acting stuff.
He's almost the baddie in the film, really, isn't he?
He is. Well, he's got another agenda, which is the same as Prometheus, really. You know.
Yeah, and the guy in Alien 2, the human guy in Alien
2. Yeah, it's an agenda from up top, which he's been programmed, which they don't know about.
The Wayland Corporation.
And it's going to be just basically, presumably, this whatever's programmed kicks in if something like this happens, protocol of them going off to an island. It's like, well, if there's another sort of species or something we could possibly use, especially for warfare or something like that, we should get it, you know. Yeah. So
John Hurt's right up close to this egg, isn't he?
Yes, and what goes and happens?
Oh, fucking hell. The way that slowly opens up, like a little flower blossoming. But then he puts his face right over to it.
What? Hang on, what did you watch? Because I watched the theatrical release. Did you watch Director's Cut?
Yeah.
Okay, we can see where it's different here. For me, at that point then, it completely cuts. And you go into basically in the spaceship, and them saying they're at the dock trying to get in. And Sigourney Weaver saying, "No, I'm not gonna let you in." Did you see more?
All you see is it fly out really quickly. There's like literally a second of Facehugger flying out of the egg, and its tail sort of wriggling, and then it smashes his glass of his spacesuit, and you just hear him go, and then it cuts to the bit you're talking about. So there's not much extra there. It's literally. I don't know why you would cut that out, really.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm sure it did cut out. So, so then we've got there Sigourney Weaver doing the proper thing of saying, no, I'm not going to let him in if he's got something to him, because it's an alien object.
Well, yeah, we need to quarantine him, etc.
Yeah, well, it's like the perfect thing. But no, Ash just goes, it's standing near the door, just goes and lets them in.
Yeah.
He overrides and just presses the button, overrides her commands.
They get him in the medical room then, don't they?
And they slowly take off the helmet, and basically he's got a face hugger.
Yeah.
Which, if everybody's seen Alien, but it's basically like, kind of like a giant spider. You get those sort of huge spiders in the Iraq desert and things like that. Yeah. Kind of clamped onto the face with a tail which goes down, which is coiled around the throat. So it's very, very much clamped on. It's not going to come off. But you can still see he's breathing, so...
Well, the reason he's breathing is because they go to cut it off, and then it tightens around his throat, and they said, look, it's actually feeding him, it's keeping him alive for some reason, which they don't know at the time, but obviously it's because it's implanting an alien in his stomach, but it's keeping him alive.
It's such a horribly dark concept, isn't it? It's really horrible. And the thing was, I was looking at that, and when they first take the helmet off, I mean, if you go outside to the point of view of Sigourney Weaver and the other crew members who are outside the medical suite or whatever, and they're just looking in, that must have been like, fuck, that's pretty damn scary, isn't it?
Yeah, what is that thing on his face, man?
But what I find ridiculous, and this happens a few times in this, they don't seem to... They've got a little face mask. Yeah, just so they don't breathe in. Guys, why the fuck aren't you wearing helmets? If this thing's sucking onto someone's face, do you think it could come off and go onto one of your faces or something?
Yeah, they just don't a bit even of... wear surgical masks, do they?
They have. At the beginning when they're doing that, they have got little surgical masks. That's it.
Really?
Yeah. But it's just like, come on, guys. Then later on, when they go look for it, they go in there.
What happens is they cut into one of the knuckles, don't they?
And make incision. They discover that its blood is acid.
Because Ash is like, well, let's not kill it. Let's see if we can remove it and keep it alive. And he's like really creepy. There's one bit where he goes, let's not be too hasty. And it's like, he doesn't give a shit about John Hurt. He wants the alien, man. He's like, he just wants to keep that alive.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's very cold, very cold, yeah. Yeah, acid for blood. So it starts going through the spaceship. So they're like, shit, okay, this is probably going to, this could make a hole through the whole spaceship if it keeps going. So they keep running down to the docks below to check out the where the hole is, and it goes through the next level, but then it stops before it goes through the next level. Yeah, but that gives them an indication that this is a fierce predator.
Yeah, because Ash loves it. He's impressed. He says, what a wonderful defense mechanism. And Sigourney Weaver looks at him and he just says, well, you don't dare kill it, do you? He loves it. She's looking at him like...
Which is true. This is why the Dan O'Bannon had a deadly, very dark thoughts when he wrote up and came up with the ideas. This is like, okay, now I'm going to put acid for blood. Yeah. It's like, wow, yeah, man. Fucking hell. And this isn't even really the aliens, is it? You know, we're intimidated by this thing, but this is like nothing compared to what we're going to get in the movie later. Yeah.
So they go back upstairs and they find... The face hug is gone, isn't it?
Yep.
And
lots of lens flare.
Is that, I didn't notice that.
When they go looking for the acid blood down the docks, there's a lot of lens flare going on.
I'm getting annoyed with lens flare. Dallas is sort of like, are you okay? And he seems okay. And they search the medical room. They can't find it anywhere.
Yeah, they go in there without any protection or weapons. They just go in there. Oh, come on, guys. Fuck's sake, not anything, nothing at all. And they go in there and they don't even shut the doors until at one point Bilbo just sort of goes, and shuts the doors. But hang on, you've been in there for a couple of minutes, you just left the door open. Like, guys, come on, you know.
It's quite a tense scene though, because they're looking around.
It is.
Potentially a little spider thing.
Yeah.
And then it sort of droops down out of the ceiling onto Sigourney Weaver's shoulder. And she kind of screams and it falls on the floor and then it's dead.
Yeah.
And then there's that brilliant line where they're all like hovering around it and Ash goes, well, I think it's safe to assume it isn't a zombie.
Yeah,
that was a really good line.
That was quite good. but the thing is, this thing has acid as blood. All three of their faces are really close to it as they're cutting it with a scalpel.
That's true, actually.
Well, hang on, guys. What if he's cutting it and it's spurted out acid at you? Like, this is just... It's just a little bit silly, those parts. You know, that's probably my only faults in this whole film. Other than that, it's a very good film.
So they start. Is this where they do the autopsy on the facehugger now? And it's really gross, isn't it? He's like peeling back these bits of skin, and they figure out that it was feeding him oxygen and all this business.
Yep, yep.
It's really like, oh, gross scene. A lot of people, and I'm just putting this out there, a lot of people say that the alien films are all to do with the male fear of being impregnated, because of being impregnated by the face huggers, but also because the face hugger, some people say, looks a bit like a vagina. I'm just putting that out there. I'm not saying that's my theory, it's just the theory I read once.
I've never heard that.
And it's like the whole like giving birth thing, like the male fear of being impregnated and giving birth. I don't know. It's like something I read once.
All right, fair enough.
But anyway, it looks pretty weird. The face hugger, but they do the autopsy on it and they figure out what's going on. That's that. Then we cut to the most infamous scene in the film.
This is good. We've had this sort of we've had these guys, they've been woken up, they've had this discovery, they've had then this disaster moment, but then we're coming up to the hour mark of the film actually now, and they're quite happy now because, their friend John Hurt. He wakes up and he's actually absolutely fine. And they're saying, well, what do you remember? And he's like, well, I remember claustrophobia, does he say? Or something
like that? Yeah, something like that, like choking or something like
that. Choking and stuff, yeah. And so they're just all laughed away. So they sit down and have a bit of food and he's really hungry. He's chomping down a load of food.
Yeah, they're all
And they're all laughing.
The only thing of it is that Sigourney sort of keeps looking at Ash like, still don't trust this android, like something weird about his agenda.
Oh, really? I didn't notice. Okay.
And these little glances she throws.
Well, yeah, this is a very infamous scene. This is why Kat, my wife, she's pregnant at the moment. She said, well, I'm not going to watch that. I don't think it's good for pregnant women to watch. Which is funny because we were going to cover Inside a few episodes back, and we've put that on hold for the moment. Obviously, that's going to be fun for me to watch, isn't it? Anyway. This is a scene which everyone knows, which is basically the stomach bursting scene. So they're all sitting there having food, and John Hurt all of a sudden starts to almost like, it's like he's choking on his food, which I think that's what they probably first think. So he stands up and he falls onto the table, turns around backwards, so his stomach is facing them all, and he's there. Then we sort of see a slight movement in the stomach, then all of a sudden this thing bursts out. Got to admit, the little thing that bursts out does look a little bit ropey nowadays, just a little bit of like, looks around at them, but that's the only thing. Yeah. You know? Everything else is very good. And it's basically the face hugger has impregnated this guy with a thing which has now burst out of his stomach, which is like a very small kind of, I don't know what to say, shaved hamster. So that sleep looks really well deserved. So go on.
I really like the bit where the tail gets caught though, because you think she's got rid of the alien and its tail's not kind of cool, and then she just puts the jet blasts on and just burns
it out. Yeah, that's quite good. I love this movie, it's really, really good. There's tons and tons of trivia on this movie that I think we could go on and on and on talking about this film. There's a lot, you know, it's opened up a huge world for like Aliens, Alien 3, Alien 4, then obviously Alien vs. Predator, two of those films, then now Prometheus, and then there's going to be another Prometheus is being written at the moment. Which I don't know.
They've done a lot.
How are they going to do another Prometheus?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I don't know how they're going to do that, to be honest with you, because it felt like that was a direct prequel to this. So
I think it's going to. I think it's going off in the other way. I think it's going to go slightly a different route on the spaceship when at the end when she goes off in Prometheus. I think they're going to follow her probably.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a great film. Actually, though, I could do say I prefer Aliens. That to me is the better film.
That was my movie as a kid to watch. Any more to talk about this film?
I just love it. And I give it 15 thumbs up.
I'm going to give it 16 thumbs up just because I want to be more than you.
Oh, fine. Fair enough. But yeah, it's an awesome film. It's probably one of, if not the best, science fiction horror films.
Yeah.
Done, Ridley Scott. Well done.
Yeah, well done. You've done a good movie in 1979 and you're still churning them out, films.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, well... Let's go now, and should we do a little bit of a World of the Strange?
Hi, welcome back to World of the Strange.
Okay, we're back with World of the Strange, our Easter special World of the Strange, which has a woman searching for eggs, has a discovery at her house. Please take it away, Mr. Daniel.
Okay, so this happened in America. So I'll just read you the story really quickly. So a family's Easter egg hunt took a dark twist this week when a mother searching for chocolate with her three-year-old son found a dead body lying under the deck of the house. She was in the garden with her son, helping him look for the eggs, when she noticed a pair of feet wearing tennis shoes in the dark of the tight space under her raised patio area. Prior to discovering this, she'd also been smelling a terrible odour that had been getting progressively worse over the past week. Police later recovered the body, which was a fully clothed middle-aged man who's believed to have laid there for around 2 weeks. Jesus. The death has not been treated as suspicious. She says, "I really don't even know how he got there. There was no evidence that the man had set up camp in the space, and he's yet to be identified, so he might be a homeless guy or something." Luckily, she got her son inside the house before he saw anything. An autopsy was carried out on the man and found that he had a medical condition which likely resulted in his death. That's all we know. But it's just a really creepy one, isn't it?
It is. Like you're just doing this Easter egg hunt. Because the house, there's pictures of the house, and it's quite a big house. So you had this whole decking bit underneath your house. And it goes back quite far. So you got a picture of this. You're there looking for Easter. Why is she looking for the eggs? Or is she putting the eggs down for the hunt?
She's laying the eggs. Son, like, because he's little.
Oh, okay. So she's probably crawled under this house looking up. But she must know if there's eggs there or not, or she's just making it up to help the kid make it more of a mystery. Okay. So she's crawling under the house. So you've got to imagine this. It's all very dark, and it's, you know, as she's crawling along, she's checking stuff out. So all of a sudden, she finds a pair of sneakers. Like, oh, there's a foot in a pair of sneakers, and then carry on going, and there's a dead body. That would really, really freak you out, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and it's been there for 2 weeks as well, so it's
probably a little pungent.
Smell great. It's rotting away, especially, you know, in America this time of year, it's going to be getting warm now, spring, etc. So that's not good.
It's just such a weird thing, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. It's not like particularly supernatural.
No. Someone's just gone and died, and their body stopped working for whatever reasons, and they decided though to have a little kip under this house for whatever reason. I suppose it's shelter if it was raining, I guess. So yeah, you're right. It probably was a homeless person. Yeah,
that's what I reckon. It's a homeless guy, and you know, like when animals go off to die, they crawl up in a bush somewhere where they don't. No one's. He obviously wasn't feeling great and thought, "Fuck it, I'm going under here. It's warm under here. It's dry." And that's where he just died, unfortunately.
You could make this into a great story, though, couldn't you? You could just change this and make this into a little short film or something. Make it a little bit darker and put some other little elements into it of different supernatural type things. But yeah, it's just a weird one. I thought, well, that's quite a good one for Easter for us to talk about. It involves death, and we like death, don't we, Dan?
Oh, yes, we love death, Gavin. We love it.
Well, the world's a strange...
Well, it is World of the Strange.
Well, World of Strange...
a strange story.
Yeah, like recently there have been sort of CCTV footage we've been doing of weird things. But this is someone's just died, but in an Easter hunt, you know, Easter egg hunt sort of thing. But, yeah. There's not very much
just
more to speak...
Yeah,
there's not much more to speak of it. It's just something we wanted to let you guys hear because it's just kind of a bit weird, really, you know.
Yeah, definitely a weird one. And it's Easter related. Yay.
Yeah, we've got quite a few, like, better World of Strange. I kept sending you a couple of links and you've sent me a couple of bits of bobs. There's some all right stuff out there, isn't there?
Yeah, we've got a good one coming up soon, I think.
Which one's that?
The footage that I sent you of what those guys saw.
I thought that was okay. We can discuss that, I suppose, can't we? Yeah. All right, well, that was a very, very short and brief World of the Strange, but it, you know, we live in a world. Sometimes this world is strange.
That's all the time we've got for this week on World of the Strange. Next week, though, Kimmy Ira, hairless pets. Weird.
Okay, so this is going to be the music you can hear underneath where I'm speaking, a bit of Jerry Goldsmith's score from Alien. It was quite a bare, minimal score in the film because there's a lot of suspense to it, but when the score came in, it is, you know, as you can hear, it's quite good. Unfortunately, he's not around anymore, and he died 10 years ago in 2004, but he's composed a lot of stuff. Rambo,
brilliant.
Star Trek movies, The Mummy, Deep Rising, US Marshals, The Untouchables, Basic Instinct, Gremlins 2, he did the video game, he composed the themes for it.
Star Trek's probably one of his bigger ones, isn't it? Because everybody knows that score from the Star Trek movies.
Yeah, uncredited, Twilight Zone, the movie, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., lots and lots of things. And he knew what he was doing. But yeah, I do like his stuff. I don't think I have any of his stuff on CD like I do with all my other composers that I quite like. But anyway, this is some music from Alien. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's been the episode 9. So that means next episode is...
Double Figures, episode 10.
1-0, the big 1-0. It's just quite funny. Yeah, we've made it. It's been unfortunate. Some of the podcasts have been a little slow coming out of times here and there. And we're gonna speed things up. And I'd like to say, you know, with the format, I quite like the way we do it with the film stuff. But sometimes I'd like to do maybe not two films, and maybe we do a few films where we just cover someone, like we kind of did with Toby Hooper, but we still cover two movies. I'd like to maybe do like mini reviews of like someone's big, better known films of their filmography, say like the Rob Zombie thing, maybe talk, you know, something like that. Or
definitely.
I'd love to speak about Mario Bava and get into Italian films, or we do theme stuff like let's talk about Giallos and we just talk about the best Italian slasher films out there or whatever.
Definitely.
You know, but yeah, it's good, man. Episode 10. Oh, well, a while back we had a little recording of us sitting with Andy and John, who were in a previous episode down the road, the Mad Doctor episode. And we sat and talked to them for about 40 minutes, just about horror and just chatting about things. I can't even remember the conversation, but we're going to play that.
We talked about what we got into, how we got into horror, what we like about horror,
future
like
of horror,
some of our favorite genres, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and we're going to play that. It's about 40 minutes. So I think next time we're only going to do one movie. We're going to do some British stuff next time. British PG horror we're basically doing. Jasmine, is she? We're going to get her to cover Carry On Screaming. If you're American listeners, you should probably know the Carry On films. They were as big a studio as, say, Hammer Horror and stuff, really, for England. It's kind of a really campy type of humour with players who would come back to every film most of the time. That's a good movie. But we're going to cover a movie by a comedian who was a radio DJ here, who did a couple of video things, but he only ever did one movie, and the movie is The Bloodbath at the House of Death, which is such a good title. And the guy's called Kenny Everett, which we can discuss.
It's
Kenny
hilarious.
Everett, actually, can't we? It's funny. I'm going to enjoy doing a review of it. The last time we watched it, do you remember we watched it last?
I watched it at yours, didn't I?
Yeah, when I was absolutely fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Dan was here as well.
And I stayed up on my own and watched it.
yeah, it's a good movie. So we're going to do that as well. And I think we'd probably just, you know, I reckon we should figure out the future episodes to let everyone know what's going on and stuff.
Yeah, we can set up a few...
We're also going to be setting up our own WordPress website. So we can actually do... get the podcast out as soon as they're done, so then when we send them to David for the network, he can put them up at his own time. He's busy doing stuff, so the podcast can get done, but then they don't get put up on the network for a little while. But we'd like to be able to put them out directly so we can get that to you straight away, which we'll be able to do. Anything you want to speak about?
Not really. I'm trying to think if there's anything interesting in my life or anything in the world of horror that I've thought.
Well, are you going to get fat eating the rest of your chocolate?
Yeah, probably I'm going to be honest.
The missus at the moment, she doesn't want to go diabetic because of being pregnant at the moment, so she's not allowed to eat a lot of things, so she's not allowed to eat chocolate. It's absolutely killing her. Women and chocolate, they love that stuff, and it's absolutely killing her, but oh well.
I love chocolate, man.
I quite like chocolate. I'm not a massive fan, it's all right. But yeah, episode 9 was pretty good. I enjoyed talking about Alien. It's nice to actually review Alien as a film and watching it.
Like I said, Aliens is actually probably my preferred film. And I think I'd like, if we make it till next Easter, I'd like to be able to do Aliens for one of our Easter films.
No, we can do.
It's a great film.
Yeah, no, it's a lot more fun movie. It's a different thing. That's the movie I grew up with in the 80s rather than Alien.
Too,
that was on ITV on a Saturday night the most.
Yeah,
and it was more action-packed with the guys with machine guns and the Marines. It was just a different type of film.
It's a different film. It's Cameron, isn't it? You know, the first film's a horror movie. The second one is a balls-to-the-wall action film.
It is. So I'm happy with that. I'm going to go and have a barbecue now, I think.
Nice. Good for you. It's bank holiday. You should be.
Yeah, last bank holiday. In England, we have a thing called Bank Holiday Monday, where we have like at least three or four Mondays through the year, which is quite nice because two or three of them are actually really close together, which is great. Where basically the banks are shut, and that's why it's a bank holiday, and everybody else just has a day off, really. Well, most people, yeah. Not everybody, because some people work. You're Alice is working, isn't she?
Yeah, she's working.
So, yeah, so some people do work, but I don't. The last time I did, though, bank holidays for us, for me, really, growing up, was a James Bond movie. So I watched Skyfall last bank holiday Monday. I don't know what movie I'm going to watch tonight, but I think it's going to be a nice, big, epic-y type film, because that should be it. I've been picking up quite a few films from car boot sales recently, so I've got quite a few things to watch.
I quite like watching The Great Escape on a bank holiday. Well,
okay, that's the sort of thing, yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I did, unfortunately, I got... well, it's not unfortunate, it's fortunate, but unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to watch it. I did get the... Ray Harryhausen documentary.
Oh yeah.
Love Film sent me that on Blu-ray, and I said to Jazzy, we'll watch that because she loves Sinbad, and I said, oh, we'll watch that because of the stop motion animation and stuff, but we haven't had a chance to watch it, which is a shame.
I want to see that. That'd
I did this isn't horror at all, but I did read not long ago a book with Kevin Smith where he talked about working with Bruce Willis, and Bruce Willis really not giving a fuck and only wanting to do one take and hating everything to do with the movie that he made called Cop Out. I've picked it up because I want to see how shit Bruce Willis is. For that reason, I'm going to watch it, because I've read all about it and how he really didn't want to act, and he'd only do one take, and if he did a second take, it was really throwaway, like, really didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, I think Bruce Willis is turning out to be a bit of an asshole, from what I hear. Like, yeah, but, I've seen a lot of things recently.
But after that, he went and did Looper.
Yeah.
And he was fine in that. Now, the real thing is, Kevin Smith decides, from his podcast, I was listening to when he had the Looper director on, is basically, the Looper director, he wrote it as well. Now, right. Kevin Smith thinks that Bruce Willis works better with people who are writer-directors, and gives them more rather than just a director for hire side type thing.
Right.
Which
is strange, because Kevin Smith is well more known for being a writer director.
But he didn't for Cop Out.
Yeah, but not for Cop Out. And Cop Out is a very strange film for Kevin Smith to direct. I watched it because I'm a big Kevin Smith fan, but it just felt like it wasn't the Kevin Smith film.
I'm going to watch it because I've read a lot of the making of, so I'm quite interested to see how bad it is. I bet there's no extras or no nothing, probably.
Just let me know what you think of it. I didn't think it was that great. There were funny elements to it, but...
I'm sure it's going to be shit, and I know that already, but that's why I'm going to watch it, because you have to do this, you know. What else was I going to say? Oh, yeah, I've been colouring Shadow of Death.
Yeah, you sent me a sneaky little glimpse of the trailer. It's looking good.
Yeah, I wasn't going to do it, but then I had huge problems because I put it in from the edit timeline. I put it into the colouring program, but it shifted a lot of the shots, so they're all different shots.
Oh no!
So at times I'd have things like clipper boards in there, and it'd be like, what the fuck? But it'd all be edited together still, but it'd just be different shots. And it's like, but I can't put the score on it. I can't put the soundtrack the audio to listen. So if I went then coloured it, put it back in, it's all out of sync. I'd be like, what am I doing? So I've had to actually take the whole film, then chop up scenes and just edit scenes and colour them. Basically.
Jesus.
But it's okay. It's looking incredible. And the only reason I'm doing this, I'm not George Lucas, and I am really with that whole Peter Jackson, Robert Rodriguez way of working, where as soon as you finish something, look forward onto the next thing. And that's what I planned on doing, and put Shadow behind me straight away. But looking at the colour job which was done by a company for a favour, basically, they had to do the same thing. They had to do it, and I didn't like some of it. And then when they sent it back to me, the file it's not as good as it could be for me, as I want to press it up on DVD this year. So if I'm going to press it up on DVD, I want it to be a good quality film. So this is going to be kind of my ultimate edition, or ultimate DVD of the film, basically. And at the moment, the colouring, I've been working on it quite a lot, it's looking really, really, really fucking nice, I've got to say. I'm very, very surprised. It's going to be, ultimately, this is going to be the movie I've pretty much done myself, which is it's not like a big-headed thing, it's just be like, cool, this is exactly how I wanted it to look, if that makes sense, from the get-go. So it's kind of that's why I'm doing it, and I'm putting my all into it and working a lot on it at the moment. But I'm doing that so to bang it out this year so we can actually get some DVDs to sell. For making another movie.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be wicked.
Yeah, so that's quite cool. I'm doing that at the moment. But, yeah, I'm still doing other little bits and bobs and things, you know. But I'll keep everybody progressed on the progress side of things up to date. So, yeah.
And I'll let everyone know when I next go for a quick drink with Aidan Turner.
Yeah. But you won't let everyone know when you go for a quick drink, because that's going to be all the time.
Yeah. Okay.
Pisshead!
Brilliant. Thanks, Gav. I'm not a pisshead. I just like my drink.
You're not a pisshead. You're a single man that lives in Bristol. You're not a single man. You're a childless man that lives in Bristol. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, that's true.
I am a man who has children and stuff, so I just turn into an alcoholic father at home. That's what.
You've got two kids with a third on the way.
Yeah, man. Coming soon. So those
and a cat and a dog.
Those podcasts are going to be fun.
With screaming children in the background.
And me half asleep. But no, sorry. I'm sure I'm used to how it works, I hope.
We'll have to do some scary children episodes. We'll do like Omen and
Let's do a children episode sometime.
Yeah, some scary stuff like Orphan and things like that. Yeah, definitely. There's some good ones.
Yeah, the orphanage and some bits. Why don't we just do like a little thing of children's horror movies, you know, with little killer children in there and stuff. That'd be cool.
Do that, you know, with the Karen screaming. That's like one of the ones in there, really.
And something coming up soon we're going to do. I'm not sure when we're going to do it, but Dan and I are thinking about possibly doing on air a live, well, it won't be live really, it'd be recorded, but a recorded episode of Dan and I doing a Ouija board. We're thinking we could probably do that.
I'm still a bit, I don't know if I really want to do it, Gav, but we'll. For Halloween, I think I'll make the exception.
It's got to be when you come down, because we've got to do it in the same room. Yeah. We can't do it bloody via Skype, it won't work. But we'll get the Ouija board and we'll do it. We could possibly go up to John's and do it above the funeral parlour.
Oh, you've
gone completely.
I'm not a fan of,
You've gone completely silent, but yeah, it'd be quite good, and I think it'd be pretty cool. But we're gonna do that soon, so that's gonna be a special based on the Ouija board. I don't even know if we'd do any reviews of films on that one. We'd just do a little introduction, and we'd go straight into trying to do a Ouija board, I think. But you know, we'll see.
We'll see.
You need to come down again then soon, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. I'll come down and we'll do that. All right.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, it's a good night from me,
and it's a good night from the Easter Bunny.
And it's a good night from him.
And it's a good night from Sigourney Weaver.
See you later, bye. Guys. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the podcast on Haunted Hill. We will be back again real soon.